This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND, here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories.
I'm Luke Biondi.
And I'm Colleen Holden. Today we will be looking at the second annual Jelani Day Remembrance Dinner, upcoming Black History Month events, and an interview with ISU's newest soccer coach.
February is Black History Month, and ISU will hold several events in celebration of the occasion. Alexandra Corson with the News Team sat down with Interim Chief Equity and Inclusions Officer Byron Craig to get a glimpse of what to expect this month and why months like this are so important.
Would you be able to highlight a few of the events that ISU is putting on for Black History Month?
I'll start with February 28th event, which is kind of sort of the cumulative event for the programming for this month. And that is, it's called Race Identity. And the person delivering that lecture is Dr. Barbara Fields, who's a professor of history at Columbia University in New York. And she'll deliver that lecture at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, February 28th, in the Prairie Room 3 at the Bone Student Center. And it's sponsored by the Department of History and African American Studies, and it's free and open to the public. People can go to that site and look where to register for the event by February 21st.
Are there other events that ISU is putting on in celebration of Black History Month?
Yeah, so there's a couple other events that are going on. Another one that I like to mention is it's called Can You Dig It? And it honors exploration and film in a film series that examines Blaxploitation films during the Blaxploitation era. And the two people who are hosting that event are Dr. Eric Wesselman, who's in psychology, and Dr. Stanford Carpenter, who is not part of the university, but they offer this series. They're offering this series this month. And that's going to accumulate into an event on February 22nd. And these films are being shown at the Normal Theater, by the way, in Uptown. And they'll show a documentary on February 27th. I'm trying to find the time for that, actually. I believe it's at 7 p.m. Let's see here. Yeah, that's at February 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Normal Theater. And they're going to show a documentary called Macked, Hammered, Slaughtered, and Shafted from 2004. The documentary features Black actors who were actually in some of these films during that era. And it's going to accumulate into a discussion afterwards, where they'll have several faculty members speak after the event. And I'll be one of those speakers, actually.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Just for clarification, it's sponsored by the Department of Psychology, the Woonsocket Kim College of Fine Arts, the Black and Brown Comics Arts Festival, the Harold K. Sage Foundation, NorCal MLK Foundation, and the Normal Theater. I have two more for you.
Okay.
The other one is sponsored by the Illinois State University Alumni Association, and they have a SU Alumni Association book club. The book they're doing, it will be held on Thursday, February 29th from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And the book is called Take My Hand. And the author for that book is Dolan, D-O-L-E-N, Perkins-Valdez. It is asking for people to register in advance for that, and that's through alumni engagement. People can call 309-438-2586. And one more that I want to mention, and I don't have all the specifics for this one yet, but people can contact Dr. Scott Jordan in the psychology department. And this is part of the RegiCon series that happens here. And every February, Dr. Jordan will feature a Black comic book series. And while I don't have all the information for that yet, people can contact him to find out about it, what the comic book is that he's featuring this month, and the discussion, what the discussion will look like around that comic book.
Okay, that's great. And good. I think I have just one final question for you.
Yes.
Why do you think it is important for ISU to celebrate and put on these events for Black History Month?
Well, I mean, it's important because it provides students, faculty, and staff and the larger community with more knowledge about the accomplishments and the contributions that African Americans and other people of color have added to this country. It's important that especially our students are aware of this history. And even Black History Month came from, right? Acknowledging that Dr. Carter G. Woodson started what was called Black History Week that 1920s, and what turned eventually into Black History Month. And Black History Week was celebrated in February because it celebrated the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass at that time, and it's since grown. And so, I mean, even understanding the history of Black History Month is important. So it's important that our students, faculty, and staff, and the larger community in the Bloomington-Nomore area understand the history of and the importance of what people of color, Black people specifically, have added to this country.
Jelani Day was an ISU grad student who drowned to death in late 2021. Since his death, an annual remembrance dinner has been held in celebration of him, and the FBI has implemented a new law regarding unrecognizable bodies in his honor due to the circumstances of his disappearance. Joey Delahunty from the news team sat down with Day's mother to discuss what the remembrance dinner means to her and why this new law is so important.
Y'all held the remembrance dinner this past weekend. How did that go?
It went well. Each year we are growing, and each year I plan and pray and hope for it to be better.
This year you gave out three different scholarships, is that right?
Well, we gave out one scholarship, but we're also going to have two others active as well.
Can you tell me about those scholarships?
These scholarships are from the high school and the two colleges that Jelani has attended. So we gave one $500 scholarship to a graduating senior. We have a scholarship that's going to go to any sophomore, the senior in undergrad at Alabama A&M. And we have a scholarship for a Black male studying speech pathology at ISU.
Lovely. So this is the second year you've held this dinner, right?
That is correct.
In the future and last year, what is the goal?
The goal last year was to announce the birth of the foundation. The goal this year was to, one, acknowledge Jelani. I don't want anybody to forget about him. I don't want any of you to forget that remembrance dinner for his dad for that. And also, this foundation is a fundraiser. We also needed to raise money for the foundation so that we can do the things that the foundation is set for to do.
So speaking of the foundation, or I suppose just speaking of sort of y'all's activism in general, recently, start of this year, the Jelani Day Act went into effect, which I'm sure you're aware. It requires coroners or medical examiners to contact the FBI if they can't identify a body within 72 hours. How do you feel about that?
That's one of the beats that I'm proud of. We didn't get that type of assistance when Jelani was missing. That body that was found, that was later identified as him, that body was found on September 4th, and I wasn't notified that it was him until September 23rd. You know, so that's 19 days, which is complete torture. This bill that makes sure that if a body isn't identified within 72 hours versus 19 days to get the assistance and help of the FBI is tremendous. I think it's tremendous.
And speaking of, you've all been pretty outspoken regarding sort of finding answers regarding this. How do you feel about the way law enforcement has sort of continued to handle the situation and how they have in general?
Oh, I'm disappointed with law enforcement. I am a taxpaying citizen. It's because I don't live in Peru or LaSalle or Bloomington. I feel as if those police entities, they've just taken this case and not done anything. There was no attention given to it in the beginning, and there's still none given to it. They have done a piss poor job at trying to find out what happened to Jelani. They made so many errors in the beginning of this that trying to retrace their steps and go back a month later, they left so many things undone that they couldn't even get back after 30 days of not doing what they were supposed to do. So I'm not pleased. Just last year, in April of 2022, you know, Jelani's phone had been locked since it had been found. I am the one who initiated that phone to being unlocked. To this day, I don't even know what's on the phone because they won't give it to me and they won't allow me to know. I'm not pleased with their work at all.
Obviously, going forward, you and sort of people around you have created the foundation, the Jelani Day Foundation. What is the sort of overarching goal of that organization?
It is to ensure that other families don't have to go through what we've had to endure, to provide assistance, resources, therapeutic services, things like that. I just want to make a difference. I want to see change. This foundation, prayerfully and hopefully, that this foundation will be one of the biggest resource centers in the state of Illinois for missing brown and black people. That's my goal. You can find all kinds of, or you can get assistance readily for anybody else, non-people of color. We just couldn't get it for Jelani, so I need that not to happen to another family.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Ms. Day. That's all I have for you.
We'll return after a quick break in which we'll discuss local developments that have occurred in the last week here in Bloomington Normal area, as well as local sports results and our interview with the newest addition to ISU sports faculty team.
This is WZND's Second Look.
Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've talked about upcoming Black History Month events and the second annual Jelani Day Remembrance Dinner. Normal Town Council had their first February meeting last Monday, where they discussed several future projects and the projected revenue growths percentage yearly.
Our reserves are very strong, there's no doubt about that, and our targets look good for the out years, with the exception maybe of watering in years 4 and 5 and so forth. We think that with good bond rating, we continue to have our conservative budget practices that have served us well for the council. Operational budgets, we have some increases in vehicle costs that we've been able to manage, no problem. Some slight increases in staff due for demand issues and service issues. We're doing additional funding for our pensions fund, which is sort of needed, and we're glad to do that. There's a capital budget, we're up significantly there with road work and town facilities work. So pensions and road spending will be continually focused in the future. The economy is kind of anyone's guess. It seems to be getting more and more favorable in terms of what I'm hearing and reading for perhaps not even a recession in 24. You hear like hard landing, soft landing, touch and go, and so forth. I probably spend more than the average person does on looking at these things. If you come across a quote that I thought was kind of interesting, it kind of talks about the it could be this, it could be that, kind of navigating that idea of where the economy is going. I'll talk to you guys. Economic growth is forecast to slow down in the first half of 2024, but is it going to pick up again late summer or early fall? So we're seeing that, it seems to be coming back real fast. That slowdown in growth is expected to cause unemployment to stall, but not contract. And unemployment rate is forecast to edge up by year end, albeit well below the recession level. So again, there's a lot of give and take with what's going on with the kind of push pull with the economy. The last thing I've seen or read is that it's looking good. The job report was significantly higher than expected. So I think, generally speaking, what I'm being told is the first 6 months of 2024 will be a slowdown, but it will be a measured slowdown, and it'll put downward pressure on inflation, but it won't put downward pressure on the economic growth. So it's kind of interesting dynamic that they're navigating through, and I think so far the Fed's not a good job with that.
The Illinois Department of Public Health has recently released data showing that instances of respiratory illness in Illinois are declining. However, officials warn that as sickness season ends, it can still last until April if people do not take proper precautions. Every county in central Illinois was evaluated as having low COVID-19 hospitalization risk.
The Illinois Department of Commerce and Opportunity has announced its provision of a $3.3 million grant to fund Route 66 revitalization projects. Around $200,000 of the grant will be dedicated to improvements in the Bloomington-Normal area. The funding will increase Route 66's compatibility with travelers and electric vehicles, as well as fund new attractions and murals to demonstrate the route's heritage.
Dr. Patrick Fernandez, a radiation oncologist at Carle Health's Cancer Institute in Normal, has recently provided advice to the public regarding cancer recognition and treatment due to the many recent accounts of celebrities being diagnosed with the disease. He says that people should not be afraid to discuss the topic of cancer or avoid screening because cancer is a curable disease. Additionally, for preventative measures, Dr. Fernandez recommends eating a balanced diet, limiting alcohol and tobacco intake, and being familiar with early cancer warning signs. In local sports, ISU gymnastics and men's tennis both have matchups today that begin at noon. Women's tennis will have a match an away match at Washington University in St. Louis tonight at 5 p.m. Tomorrow and Tuesday, women's golf will play in the Atlantic Invitational.
The University High School girls basketball team defeated Lamphere High on Thursday. And boys basketball will have a matchup next against Mahomet Seymour High School on Tuesday.
WZND's Jaden Cohn sat down with recently named ISU women's soccer head coach Rayleigh DeRose to get a better idea of her attitude heading into her first season as coach. Formerly serving as an associate head coach at Brown University, DeRose is confident she'll be able to assist in building and improving the women's soccer team.
Why did you decide to come to ISU?
I decided to come to ISU because I feel like its resources and the student athlete experience that it provides a young woman here with the soccer program is second to none. The way that the school's been able to support its student athletes through facilities, through resources, is really inspiring. And I really feel as though it's a place that people can thrive and have the best of both worlds, both when it comes to school and soccer. And I don't feel like you have to compromise one for the other. And I feel like here you can get a top tier degree in so many different majors, but you also can be a top competitor within the Missouri Valley and with the resources that both are able to offer its student athletes, the academics and the athletics, it seems like a no-brainer.
What's your coaching style? Are you more offensive, defensive?
So I've always been a high energy coach. I've always believed in competitive scenarios that are similar to circumstances that you're going to see on game day are the best teachers for student athletes. Now, if people ask me, I'm more defensive or offensive minded, I think you have to have a commitment to both. However, I do think if you have a strong defensive prowess amongst your team, you're going to be able to not only build a sense of pride, but you're also going to be able to build a really strong core to your team. So that way you're able to, you know, of course, not concede many goals, but also have the gumption to, when the going gets rough, to be able to find the back of the net. But that's not to say that I don't value offensive style of play. I certainly do. I really think that both are important. I think, though, if you do have your entire team in the mindset that we're going to be a tough defensive team, we're going to be hard to break down, that builds a sense of culture and that builds a sense of camaraderie and work ethic in both ends of the ball.
What are some of your goals for this season?
So coming up into the fall season, you know, I certainly want to continue to build on what we're working on right now this spring. And things that I'm really big about this spring are getting a good cohesive team unit, really having a lot of competition at practice, having a lot of good technical activities that are going to be not necessarily just fun. I think that they are, but hopefully, you know, working on good technical attributes with the ball plus fitness with the ball, I think is always a good thing. But I really, really think that going into the fall season, I want to bring that into full play when it comes to 11v11. I want to be, a competitive team. And I want to keep working on our culture, keep working on building ourselves towards that common goal of being a competitive force for the Valley.
And ISU, for the transfer portal, they lost some of their starters. How do you plan to recover for this season?
I think when people leave, there's new opportunities for others to step up. And I think that's a really exciting thing. I think when you are in a program and your name is called upon, you are able to grow and flourish. And I want those players to know that I have confidence in them. I want to help coach them. I want them to learn with that experience as well. And also, too, we have, you know, a very good core right now in training. And I think those people are going to have a really good sense of what I'm looking for come the fall. And they're going to bring the other newcomers with them. Certainly help guide them along the way and show them what ISU soccer is about. And I do want those incoming players as well to know I want to coach them and I want to put them in positions to thrive as well. So whether you're a returner or you're a new player, you know, I want to be able to give you that confidence. Because, again, with people leaving, there's new opportunities for others that I want to focus on more so than what's, you know, who left. I want to focus on who's here.
And building off of that, ISU had a record of 3-9-4 last season. How do you plan to improve just anything in general?
I think one thing to keep in mind is the past is the past. And I think that if you're looking at last season and you look at the record, it's not impressive in a lot of senses. And that's okay. Like, I'm here to help rebuild that. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be done overnight. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy feat, but I'm ready to invest in it. And I really want to. And I think that the players are too. And so one thing is we talk about is what's the past is the past. You have to keep your eye ahead on the future. And also you have to focus on what's important now. What's important right now isn't last year's record. What's important now is that we're getting better to fix things, move forward, and have a positive and competitive experience moving forward with hopefully more wins on that.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today, we discussed upcoming events for Black History Month, the second annual Jelani Day Remembrance Dinner, local developments over the past week, and ISU's new head soccer coach.